More and more government workers are being told to avoid TikTok. But are they really? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. TikTok is under a lot of scrutiny from federal, state, and local governments. Congressional lawmakers recently banned the social media platform from most federal government devices, and more than a dozen states, including New Hampshire, South Dakota, and Texas, have passed similar measures due to growing concerns over the data security and privacy on the platform. Joshua Scacco is associate chair of the University of South Florida's Department of Communication. He says this blacklisting can make it harder for some, like researchers, to do their jobs.
So when we think about the rules, there will be various approaches that local, state, even federal government will take with regard to essentially ban the use of TikTok on government devices during business hours. And these can take a couple of different forms. So one is for the government employee who might be an 8-to-5 or a 9-to-5 during that period of time, they cannot visit TikTok on their government devices. Another possibility, which we've seen less of, although this is a potential worry as a researcher who focuses on digital and social media, is that as part of conditions for these bans or limitations, they could also spill over and affect research on the TikTok platform. And one of the things we know is it's growing and has millions of users. It is not only a realm for information, but also for mis- and disinformation about politics and health. And these are critical topics that researchers need to study. The potential negative effects for not being able to conduct public research on a very important social media platform are quite real.
Can't there be an exception, though, if someone is doing research specifically related to the platform?
So that would have to be up to the individuals who are writing the restrictions and bans on use of TikTok. There are instances in jurisdictions where other activities that might be limited could be allowed with a research-based exception. But to give you an example here, a blanket ban, for instance, at the federal level, would potentially apply to areas like National Science Foundation funding or National Institutes of Health funding. Those things would be very challenging. The other big challenge would be, how would elected officials or candidates for office, how would they be able to communicate in this particular space? Would they be able to communicate in this space? That's also a challenge. So there would have to be built into the sorts of regulation here, potential exceptions to how it could be used.
What sorts of complications do you think this ban on TikTok from government devices at the federal level creates for government employees when it comes to reaching younger audiences?
So one particular challenge is TikTok is quite popular among younger individuals in the United States. The challenge is for public communication is to go where your audiences are. And that includes many social and digital media platforms. If governments and government officials don't go there, or they can't go there, the individuals who have access to information and important information at times are not going to be part of the narrative that's being shaped in these places. Places like TikTok, other social and digital media platforms, are havens of mis- and disinformation, whether that's about health topics, whether that's about politics. The challenge is if elected officials, if government officials are not in those spaces, they do not have the opportunities to counter mis- and disinformation, to fact check, and that can be a challenge to information literacy.
I've seen federal officials on TikTok sending out messages, information. Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, was sending TikToks out related to the problems with Southwest Airlines. How do you see government officials kind of striking this balance between the official bans but the unofficial need to reach these audiences?
Pete Buttigieg using the platform to be able to get the message out on Southwest makes a lot of sense. Part of the population of individuals who were going to be traveling over the holiday who would have been affected by the conditions at airports were younger people who might get the message on TikTok. And so showing that federal efforts were being directed at trying to figure out what was going on was important for the transportation secretary to do in that particular circumstance. So there is that balance in the sense of concern over the quote-unquote security concerns with the platform versus as well the fact that this is a platform where millions of users go to get information. So for government officials, they will have to balance those things and decide on an individual jurisdictional basis how they want to confront that.
Joshua Scacco at the University of South Florida. And now for some related links. If you want to catch up on just how some of these TikTok restrictions are playing out in real life, we'll link to a recent piece in the Wall Street Journal covering South Dakota's ban. Lawmakers supporting the blacklisting of TikTok on state-owned devices say there are real potential threats to user data privacy, and that they're worried China could order TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, to collect data specifically on American users. Critics point out there's no real evidence of this yet, and that other social media apps also collect a wealth of user data that could also be exploited. The website GovTech has a comprehensive map of which states have taken some kind of official action against the app. So far, more than 20 of them. Other states have not shied away from the platform. California Governor Gavin Newsom, for example, has his own official government account. Now, before we go, we'd like to ask for a bit of your help. We're exploring some of the interesting tech jobs that many people may not know are jobs. We want to talk to some of the folks doing those jobs now or preparing to, like maybe someone who designs the sounds for electric vehicles. If you have suggestions or know anyone who might tell an interesting story, email us at mptech, all one word, at marketplace.org. Jesus Alvarado, Rosie Hughes, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Lydia Morell is our intern. Brian Allison is our engineer. Amanda Peacher is our interim senior producer. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.